Welcome back to the Fantasy Fanalist Podcast, where NFL fandom and fantasy football championships meet. Eric, it's week one, baby. We made it.
We back, baby.
Hey. Dude, I don't know, man. It feels so good. It feels so good.
A game, too. Tonight, it would be something if it was like a layup game, but this is going to be good.
Bears-Packers to start things off. I need everyone to know that Eric is currently rocking a Bears jersey.
54 Brian Urlacher jersey. Gotta represent, baby.
So why Eric owns a Brian Urlacher jersey, I don't know. But he's wearing it currently.
I don't really know why either. I don't know if it was a gift or I bought it. It's a nice jersey. Bears fans, you got nice jerseys. What can I say?
What can you say? Speaking of jerseys, do you see the Browns are rocking their color rushes all season?
Those are the all brown with the orange line on the chest, right? It's that one?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's all right. It's still crap brown color, so I mean, is it really that nice?
If you don't play exclusively with the color rush jerseys when you play Madden, you're not playing it correctly. So I'm all in favor of color rush jerseys.
I'm a fan. I guess. Ugh. It's hard to make brown look good. This year, the Browns are going to make Brown look good.
Honestly, that's the worst marketing job, like, in sports. Like, I'm sorry, what's the team's name? The team's name is Brown. Oh. Okay. Sure.
And from one Brown to another, Matt.
Oh, good transition, Eric. Before we jump into the news, though, I just kind of want to give everybody a rundown. If you're not familiar with how we do things in season, for this episode, we are going to go through every game other than the Thursday night game, because we talked about that in our first episode of the week. But we're going to go through every other game. We're going to give you a preview of the fantasy football implications, what we're watching. We're going to talk about matchups, how you can best exploit things and look beyond just the name of the teams and look at different matchups and see how you can get the most value out of your fantasy football matchups. So we're going to do that, and we're going to talk about news along the way. But we have a couple big items that we want to talk about off the top. And one of them, Eric, because we're recording here on Thursday afternoon, it's basically breaking news.
It just got handed down that, well, first they were saying that Antonio Brown, for an altercation he had with GM Mike Mayock, would be suspended. Now they're saying he's going to be disciplined. By Sunday, he'll probably be scheduled to miss a half. And then when the Raiders go down 21-0 to the Broncos in the first quarter, he'll miss the first quarter. That's where we're headed with Antonio Brown, the Raiders right now. People saw the Instagram posts about he's crying about how he got fined. Yeah, well, Antonio, when you don't show up to practice, that's mandatory. You get fined. This is a dumpster fire on wheels. They're just sending it down a massive hill right now. That's where we are with the Raiders. It's just going to go further and further downhill.
Yeah, it's a total mess. It's a total mess. I mean, it's going to be a story to watch as we go exactly how much Antonio Brown will be suspended. I don't think this is going to be anything lengthy. I think, you know, like Eric said, maybe a quarter, maybe a half, maybe a game. I think it's going to be like one of those situations, you know, like college football players do something stupid and the coach, like, quote, suspends them, just doesn't play them like the first like three drives and is like, all right, you learned your lesson.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be. This has been happening since he's gotten to Oakland. And I'll be quite frank with you, Oakland, I don't think has the balls to admit that they were wrong on this. The only way they do that is if they cut him or trade him, and just they're not gonna be able to trade him because nobody's trading for that contract now, so they're kind
of
stuck.
They'd have to cut him.
They're kind of stuck with him. If they cut him, I mean, oh man, I would be on Antonio Brown cut watch by next offseason. I'm expecting.
Eric, do you know who is not in risk of being cut? That's Ezekiel Elliott, who has signed a 6-year, $90 million deal. Much like we told our listeners, Eric, that they should expect him to play. He is expected to play week one, and the early reports have come out to say as many as 20 to 25 carries.
Yeah, do you believe that, though? Do you believe the 20 to 25 carries?
I mean, we'll get into that a little bit when we get into the actual preview episode. But just to say that Zeke has signed, and he will play this week. I know, Eric, if we're looking at his contract, it actually probably binds him to the team for really 2 more years. But technically, it's 6 years, $90 million. But all NFL contracts are fake.
He is officially the highest paid running back. That's all he cares about. That's all Zeke cares about. Yeah, fire him up this weekend. I don't have any hesitation to do that.
Yeah, absolutely not. And Eric, one more player got paid big, and that was Jared Goff. He signs a 4-year extension, $110 million guaranteed, so he can finally afford an apartment in Los Angeles.
If that's what it takes to live in Los Angeles, geez, I'll never be in Los Angeles. Goff, I mean, say what you will about the Super Bowl, but Goff has been, the past 2 years, he officially announced himself into, like, upper echelon territory last season with, I think it was like 4,800 yards and however many touchdowns. He's worth that money. Now, when Dak signs, that will be a question.
Yeah, I mean, Jared Goff is always worth the money, and people are sleeping on him. But people are going to learn, Eric. We've been telling them. People are going to learn. Jared Goff, he's very good.
Trust Goff and trust the coach and trust the offense.
Yeah,
trust it all.
Honestly, just trust that offense.
Trust it all.
All right, Eric, let's go ahead. Let's jump into our previews for week one. But before we do that, we are going to hear about our friends at Draft. Hey, Fantasy Fanalyst listeners, I want to encourage you to try Draft, me and Eric's favorite daily fantasy sports app. It's the most user-friendly way to get into playing DFS. It has a clean interface if you want to draft on your phone or on the web. It's personally, in my opinion, the best way to make money playing DFS. And more importantly, it's the best way to have fun doing it. And you could play against me all season long. Just use the promo code TOP2, that's T-O-P-2, and your first entry is on us. You get a free $3 entry with the promo code TOP2. All right, Eric, week one, we have Minnesota. It's Atlanta at Minnesota. It's a 47.5-point total. What are you watching for? What are the headlines that you got your eye on?
Well, first of all, does Diggs play? Because he missed practice yesterday with a hamstring. That is definitely something to watch as we record here. It's 1:52 on Thursday afternoon, so the injury report has not come out yet. That's definitely something to watch. Is it Dalvin?
Can I just say that the way you said that time was like you were like in one of those movies where the person's like recording themselves because they think they're the only ones on the earth. Like it's 1:52 Thursday afternoon.
Now it feels like I'm an I Am Legend and I'm home alone. So like now I'm a little weirded out. Now I gotta go.
You're looking over
go
your shoulder the rest of the podcast.
Yeah. Now I feel like there's like zombies coming out to get me or something. All right, back on track here. Is it Dalvin Cook time? That. Don't know if it'll be answered week one, but let's see if they actually give him a full workload. Atlanta's scary offense. I know both of these teams have solid defenses, Matt, but both offenses have their own right to be very explosive. What are you watching? What are you looking for?
I mean, I think you got to be honing in on Dalvin Cook this week. I do have Dalvin Cook as a top 12 option here in my rankings. By the way, my weekly positional rankings will be on the FFAnalyst.com. Every week, we'll update them to kind of, you know, go ahead and make sure that they are current and matchup specific. So I do have Dalvin Cook currently as a top 10 running back. That's a little bit higher than most. His Fantasy Pros ECR or like average rating is 13, and I have him at 9. So I think he's going to be pretty good. I'm optimistic with Dalvin Cook. Obviously, if you drafted him, you got to play him. But on the other side of that, Eric, Julio Jones is just going to absolutely ball out this week. He is my wide receiver one this week. I think he matches up really well against the Minnesota secondary, and I think he is going to overwhelm them.
There are reports saying that Atlanta is moving towards a contract extension with Julio. If that gets done before Sunday, yeah. Even if it doesn't get done before Sunday, still, yeah. Julio's going to ball out. Matt, who do you like in this game? Who are you taking?
I'm taking Atlanta. Listen, I think it's going to be a better game than people think. I feel like everyone's down on Minnesota. We're not down on Minnesota, but I think Atlanta is going to travel well, and they're going to show up, and they're going to show us why we have been investing so heavily in their offense.
I agree. I agree with that. I am also taking Atlanta. All right.
And Eric, just real quick, I know we talked about Julio Jones, but I just want to point out that I'm also really high on Calvin Ridley, because I think he can show up as a wide receiver too this week. And I think if you're in a pinch and you're digging real deep, you could even look at Mohamed Sanu.
All right. I like it. On to the next game, Matt. We got Washington traveling to Philadelphia for a 1 p.m. matchup. Pressure's on Carson Wentz this year. This is the year for Carson Wentz. It's his make or break season. They are loaded on offense at wide receiver, tight end, running back, you name it. And then on the other side of the ball, well, the only really positive thing to start for the Redskins right now, it's Darius Geis' season. So let's see what he can do in that offense. Sounds like he's going to be the bell cow back. Matt, what are you looking for?
I'm really interested to see who Carson Wentz is going to be throwing the ball to. I think the assumption is that Alshon Jeffery is the top option, but until I see it, I'm just not trusting it. So I'm kind of fading the wide receivers for Philadelphia this week just because I'm not sure exactly where the ball is going to go. And although I'm not going to sit here and pretend like Washington is a good team, they actually have, like, their defense is really what held that team together last year. It's hard to really guess defenses in week one because as much as you can look at a piece of paper or look at a roster and try to project, you don't know what a defensive unit's going to look like. So it's a little hard to overassume that Washington's going to be good, especially because the game script's probably not going to work in their favor. But I'm looking at the tight ends, man. Zach Ertz, I think, is going to be a good option. And if you didn't invest in tight end early, Dallas Goedert is a guy to watch. Maybe not this week. Maybe this week's a little early for him. But keep an eye on him throughout the season. I think he's going to get more run, more targets than people expect. And I think we could see that right away here in week one.
Matt, I don't mean to... I don't really mean to throw this show off the rails here. But this is just breaking now. Apparently, the Raiders are trying to suspend Antonio Brown with the idea of trying to void the $30 million in guaranteed money in his contract, which would end his time in Oakland. So, you remember how I said cut watch for Antonio Brown is next offseason for the Raiders? No, it might be right now.
Eric, second round pick right now. You could take it.
No, what if he goes to the Patriots?
I will give you a second round pick, Eric, right now for him.
No, I'm not doing second round pick. You know my price.
All right. By the end of this episode, you're going to take that offer.
All right. Matt, who are you taking in Washington? Do I even have to ask?
Come on!
Moving on to the next one. We're both taking the Eagles. This is a good one. Buffalo travels...
This is a good one.
1 p.m. to meet the Jets in New York. I guess not traveling that far, but what to watch for. We got Darnold versus Allen year two. Le'Veon Bell's return to the NFL. The Bills running back by committee. How does that shake out? Matt, what do you got your eye on?
Here it is, man. Josh Allen in the ECR, so that's the consensus rankings I talked about, he's currently 21. That's ridiculous. Josh Allen is a streamable quarterback this week. Hopefully you don't need to stream week one, but I know some of y'all drafted Andrew Luck. So Josh Allen is probably on your waiver wire, and Josh Allen, I have him ranked 14th this week. This guy finished as a QB1 the last 4 weeks of last season. They improved his weapons. They improved his offensive line. And I think that the New York Jets offense is also going to click and push the tempo of this game. I would smash the over on this one. It's a 41-point total, according to Vegas. I would smash that over. I think this game is going to be a lot more interesting than a lot of people expect. And I think Josh Allen is going to show right off the bat why he is progressing as an overall football player. And at the end of the day, he runs the ball, people. He runs the ball, and that gets you fantasy points.
There is reason to be excited. I'm very excited for this game. I agree. It will be a really good one. Matt, who you got in this?
This was a tougher one than I expected to pick. I did pick Buffalo because Buffalo, man, is like one of my sleeper teams this year. I think they could get 9 or 10 wins. I think they could actually get the wild card spot out of the East.
I like the Buffalo defense more than the Jets defense. That is why I'm going with Buffalo.
Real quick, Eric, before we move on here. What are you doing with Devin Singletary? If you have Devin Singletary, are you starting him this week?
I have him in multiple places. I'm not starting him yet. I will wait till next week. I need to see it because I've heard so many times they're like, oh, so-and-so is going to be the lead back. And then Frank Flippin' Gore just comes right in and gets 20 carries in the game. And I'm like, that's not happening again. So I will wait. Everybody should wait.
Yeah. Yes. And I completely agree. I think you need to assume that Frank Gore is going to get at least 50% of the touches, if not more, at least on the ground, and let's wait and see with Devin Singletary. Maybe he plays, and maybe he balls out, but I think this is a guy that you're going to want to be safer on than roll him out there, and he gets, 40 yards on 8 carries, and that's it.
Could be true. Very true. All right, Matt, moving on here. We got Baltimore traveling to Miami to murder some Dolphins.
This is just absolutely, I mean, somebody call PETA. This is going to be absolutely ridiculous.
This is going to be a bloodbath. I was telling Matt, I wouldn't be surprised if it's 1:35 p.m. on Sunday. I'm enjoying the first Sunday of the NFL season, and it's 21-0 Ravens after the first quarter, and Lamar hasn't even seen the field yet. There's two pick sixes and a fumble six. I could see that happening. That's how bad this is going to be. Ravens said they're going to go with the hot hand at running back, and I have it here in the layout that I'm supposed to put something about the opposing team, so I just wrote Miami. It's nice in Miami. Matt, who are you looking at this game?
Well, I didn't know that Baltimore pronounced Justice Hill as hot hand. I didn't know that that was how, but I mean, you know, they might as well have just come out and said, Justice Hill's going to ball out because that man can play. Mark Ingram will definitely be, I think they're both going to get run. I think they're both going to do well this week. I think Mark Ingram is startable for sure in a running back two slot. And then I think that Justice Hill could definitely slot into your flex, and you could be comfortable with both of those guys. Lamar Jackson is not getting enough love this week. I have him as my 9th highest ranked quarterback this week. If you're playing DFS, you should be looking at him. If you have Lamar Jackson on your team, you need to play Lamar Jackson. There's only 8 guys that I would play above Lamar Jackson. It's Pat Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Carson Wentz, Russell Wilson, Baker, Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers. If your quarterback is named anything other than those, and you have Lamar Jackson on your bench, you are doing it wrong.
I agree with that. I agree. I think Lamar Jackson definitely should be top 10 this week.
Eric, put your money where your mouth is. You starting Mark Andrews this week?
Yes. Every league I have him. Not even kidding.
How many leagues do you have? Probably a lot.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I have a dynasty league from last year that I don't have. But I literally every startup or redraft I did this year, I took Mark Andrews, and I'm starting him in every league.
By the way, me and Eric were both talking to a friend yesterday, and he was like, "How many leagues are you guys in?" And Eric's like, "Yeah, I'm in way too many. I'm in 9." And then I started counting my leagues, and I was like, "I'm in 21.
Shame on us for ending on odd numbers. We got to do one right after this. Just right after this.
Yeah, just start another league. We got time. There's 7 hours until
Let's
kickoff.
Find a platform where it's just me and you in one league, just 2v2. We just face each other each week.
I mean, I guess we could start that league.
We could do that. All right, we got to move on. We're getting
that'd be weird.
Too sidetracked.
We should do it. Our teams would be so good.
Right? Okay, that's an idea for after.
Okay,
the
okay.
That's an idea for after.
Okay, but okay.
All right.
Yeah, all right.
Moving
all right.
on here, I'm we excited. Have Kansas City traveling to hot ass Jacksonville, which is I'm putting in there for a reason because I think it's going to be 90 degrees and that Kansas City Chiefs offense is about as hot as it gets. So it's going to be 150 degrees in Jacksonville this weekend. We got Mahomes here too.
Are you suggesting that it's going to help the Jaguars?
I don't know who it's going to help. I just know it's going to be hot, and I'm glad I'm not on that field. We got Mahomes year 2. We got Foles. Is he an upgrade to Blake Bortles? Matt, if you say no, I'm going to throw a shoe at you through the internet. What are you looking for in this game?
Here's what I'm really looking for. Which Leonard Fournette are we getting? Are we getting the 2018 really bad taste in my mouth Leonard Fournette? Or are we getting the 2016 Leonard Fournette that everyone thought was going to be a top 5 guy? Like, who are we getting here? Because who we get this week is really going to determine how I feel about him. I have him 17th in my rankings right now. He needs to be in the middle because I don't know what to expect. They're saying that the hype all offseason was that Leonard Fournette was going to catch the ball more. So I need to see if that's actually going to be a thing. Now, I believe that's possible because Nick Foles can't really throw the ball all that far. And that brings me to my second point. Who's his guy? Who's his guy in the passing game? Right now, everyone seems to say D.D. Westbrook is the guy. Which to me puts Westbrook as a flexible type option. I have him as my 32nd wide receiver this week. So if you need him in a flex spot, or if you're shallow at wide receiver and you need him as your wide receiver too, you can give him a go here against Kansas City. Not a fantastic secondary. Or is somebody else going to emerge out of the depth chart? Keelan Cole. Is Keelan Cole going to come back? DJ Chark. There's a lot of options. And I know we like to say that Nick Foles tends to go to tight ends, but I don't think Jeff Swaim is going to be the guy. And Josh Oliver, I believe, is still out in injury. So he's going to have to throw the ball to somebody, or just that offense is going to fold, which, Eric, is possible.
Very well put. A lot of juicy matchups in this game. Matt, who do you like in this one?
Who do I like? Kansas City. Come on.
upset of the week, I'm taking the Jaguars.
No, come
on.
I'm
taking the Jaguars every single day. It's because he's a Patriots fan. No, it's because I actually think that Jaguars defense is legit. We'll see. All
right. So I want to point out, Eric, that that Jacksonville does have a positive, like their offensive line outranks their defensive line. So I think like that advantage up front is going to help them stay in the game a lot, because I think we just assume that Kansas City has a good defense just as much as they have a good offense, but it's really not.
If y'all think Kansas City, listen up, everybody listening to this podcast. If y'all think Kansas City has a good defense, y'all have not been listening to me. Just saying.
We try not to.
Well, that's why most of you are wrong. A lot often, more often than not. There you go. There's no other way to put it other than that. If you think Kansas City's defense is good, wow. Yikes. All right, moving on here. We got Tennessee traveling to Cleveland, 1 p.m. Eastern. Big game for Cleveland, right in week one. OBJ's Browns debut, just a whole new offense. Freddie Kitchens as the head coach. And then on the Titans side of the ball, Matt, I'm going to be saying it all year. I'm going to be asking this question until it actually happens, until we actually have a nice answer to it. Mariota or Tannehill? And you know my answer.
Stop it.
What do you mean stop it?
Stop it. It's Marcus Mariota. At least for week one, that's what I know. That's what I'm here for.
Exactly. All right. Who are you looking at in this game?
I mean, I think in terms of Tennessee, is there anything? Is there truly anything on that offense? I worry about Derrick Henry. I know everyone's just assuming like Derrick Henry is going to come in and be like this guy that apparently people think he is, but I mean, the Browns are stacked along the defensive line between Richardson, Vernon, Myles Garrett, and Okungjobi. Like, they're stacked. So they're going to be stopping the run. And they are big boys to stop that big boy. So I think we need to pump the brakes on Derrick Henry. I do not have him ranked high this week. I think I have him ranked 20-something, 31. I have him ranked 31. Pump the brakes, people. Remember who Derrick Henry really is. I'm not starting any of the wide receivers. Not interested. Delanie Walker, if I'm in a pinch, could be fine. But other than that, it's wait and see on the Tennessee offense. But for the Browns, Nick Chubb is going to eat. He is going to ball out. I think he is going to outplay the Tennessee defense. And he is going to, like, very much justify those people who took him in the first round. And people started to do that after Duke Johnson got traded. And I think that's perfectly fine. By the way, OBJ is going to absolutely shred people apart.
Yep.
But that's not news. That's just obvious.
All right.
Who do we know who is lined up against OBJ?
Well, I mean, if we're going on prior matchups, I seem to recall Malcolm Butler having a pretty solid game against him in 2015.
I think it might be Jackson.
Yeah, it's slated to be Adoree Jackson, but really?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Adoree Jackson. So, yeah. Give me Odell. Thank you.
Butler had a bad season last year, but I'd still put Butler on him.
By the way, Jarvis Landry and Logan Ryan, yeah, I'll take that too.
Whoa,
thanks.
Don't slander Logan Ryan. Don't slander that Titans secondary, man. Don't
slander. I'm not slandering Logan Ryan. Okay. I guess I should have prefaced that. I'm not slandering Logan Ryan. I just like Jarvis Landry.
That's a cop out. Who are you taking? Cleveland or Tennessee?
Cleveland.
Even though I do like Titans defense, yeah, I agree. I'm taking Cleveland.
DFS play, I actually don't even know how much money he is, but I guarantee he's cheap. Rashad Higgins. It's worth a shot. Baker clearly connected with him in the preseason.
Any love for Adam Humphries?
Adam Humphries. Didn't he sign with the Patriots?
Sometimes.
Too soon?
Yeah, I guess it is.
He was the one that came out and said like he'd rather play for the Titans than the Patriots, right?
Is that how he put it?
Yeah, I think that's how he put it.
If that's how he put it, he needs to get checked for CTE. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I have no interest in Adam Humphries.
Fair enough. The Rams travel to Carolina to take on the Panthers. How about this game? Todd Gurley. That's literally all I wrote. Todd Gurley. All eyes are on Todd Gurley in this game for the Rams. I know people are like, oh, what about Cooper Kupp? We love Cooper Kupp. We love a little Cooper Kupp here. But this matters most about Gurley. We need to know if he's all right. We need to know if he's limited in any way. If he's limited in any way, Matt, this is going to be the biggest story coming out of week one. Although AB is really testing the patience of that. And as for the Panthers, it's Cam Newton and the youngins. How do the young wide receivers adapt with him in year two or three, if you're Samuel's case? Still got Christian McCaffrey there. Greg Olsen's back. Is he a thing? Matt, who are we looking at in this game?
Yeah, I'm looking at exactly what you said there. Curtis Samuel versus DJ Moore. I want to see what the target share and what the split looks like. I think if you have DJ Moore, you have to feel comfortable playing him this week. I think if you drafted him, right, the capital that you put into him, you got to play him. I think he's a solid wide receiver two type option this week. And then Curtis Samuel, if you're playing in deeper leagues, I think it's a guy that you're definitely going to be interested in. I have him in wide receiver four territory right now. He could prove me wrong. But both of those guys, although they're playing the Rams, you know, I know initially you're like, ooh, Rams. But remember, the secondary is not it for the Rams. So they have, who is it? The two old corners playing there that just aren't what they used to be. Why am I forgetting their names? Talib and...
Peters.
Are you just... Okay, well, either way.
What do you mean, aren't what they used to be? What is that?
What do you mean, what is that?
They were in the Super Bowl last year. They are exactly what they used to be. They are still very good.
I don't know. I don't think they're that good anymore, man.
We'll find out, then.
I mean, the secondary was weak last year. The Rams were getting thrown on.
Yeah, when Talib went down. That's on Peters.
And the positive game script is just going to push the... Is just going to push the Panthers to be...
More...
Like, even more...
Throw a little more.
Like the, right, yeah, it's going to keep the tempo up. So... I don't know, man. I mean, I'm
so
just telling you. I'm
a
not a. Yeah, I expect a high scoring game, and I'm not afraid to play the Panthers wide receivers. Like the Rams secondary does not scare me.
I mean, it depends on who you have on your wide receiver depth chart. Because I'm not the highest on Moore and Samuel, especially this week. But yeah, it's a toss up. It's going to be a good game. I'm definitely looking forward to that game. I'm glad it's at one as well. Matt, who do you like in that game?
I like the Rams. I want to like the Panthers, but I think it's the Rams.
I'm like, is he going to pick the Panthers here? I know you got a soft spot for the Panthers, but yeah, I still see the Rams squeaking away with something there. I think they'll pull off that victory.
Eric, let me ask you this, because I think he's right on the cusp of being a starter this week. Cam Newton, starter this week?
In 12-team leagues?
Yeah, in a 12-team standard league. It's right on the cusp. I mean, it depends on who you have. But, you know, I'm at 11 right now. Like I said, I think they're going to have to push the passing game. So I lean towards starting him. But, you know, it's worth just kind of going in there with, like, a yellow flag.
I'm a little worried because the one preseason game I watched with Cam was against the Patriots, and that O-line did not look good. And this Rams D line is no joke. So he is borderline. I like where you have him. You said 11. That's a good spot for him.
Yeah, right on the edge there.
All right. We are now moving to the 4 o'clock games. First up, we got Kyler and Kingsbury in Arizona facing off against Matthew Stafford and Matt Patricia's Lions. Does Stafford bounce back? The aforementioned Kyler and Kingsbury, are they going to have a solid debut? How does that offense look? It's carry-on season. Matt, what are you looking for in this?
Listen, there's going to be more here than would originally sound. Like, I feel like if you were just looking at a piece of paper and we're like, Arizona versus Detroit. Yeah, how about I don't do anything with that game? That would be my natural reaction. But here's the thing about Arizona. This week, unless I have David Johnson, I'm not starting anybody on the Cardinals offense. And it's not because of what they did in the preseason. I need everybody to understand that... The Arizona Cardinals are introducing a brand new offensive scheme to the NFL. The last thing that you would do would be to show critical elements of that scheme in the preseason. You don't want to put tape out there for your opponents to watch. So what they did in the preseason doesn't scare me at all. What Kyler did in the preseason doesn't matter. None of it matters. It's about how they put it together in week one and how they build off of that for the rest of the season. That being said, I don't know what they're going to do. And if I don't have to start one of those players, I'm not going to. I like Christian Kirk. I think he's talented. I also would love for Larry Fitzgerald to still be good at football. But I am not banking my week one on either of those guys. It's just not happening. They still have one of the worst offensive lines in football. And guess what? I'm not starting Kyler Murray. I'm just not doing it. It's just way too much upside and way too much risk. Kyler Murray, quarterback 22 this week for me. Maybe he goes out and balls out this week. But I think he's going to need time, and that's nothing. That is not a knock on him. That's a fact that he is going to be running an NFL offense for the first time. It is a brand new NFL offense, and it's one that absolutely failed in the Big 12. So there's a lot of pieces that need to get figured out.
Cliff Kings.
On the flip side of that, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, Cliff Kingsbury, if you want to win the game, play Andy Isabella. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, on the flip side of that, I am smashing Kerryon Johnson this week. I think he has an absolutely fantastic matchup. I think he is going to run all over the Arizona defense, and he's also going to get some action in the passing game. I think Arizona is going to struggle to keep up with Detroit. And even if they do, right, say Arizona goes out and plays this awesome game, Kerryon's still going to be involved through the passing game, but more likely or not, Detroit's going to get up early, and Kerryon's going to get 15 to 20 touches. And I think he's going to be a huge play this week. I have him as a running back one. I have him running back 11. That's slightly higher than the average consensus. I think this is a guy that you have to be keyed in on. I mean, you're going to start him anyways, but just know that this is a guy who has a really good matchup this week. And if there's any doubt, you need to play this guy.
All right, Matt, who are you taking in this?
Yeah, okay, I'm taking Detroit.
I think Detroit, with that D-line and with Arizona's shortcomings, they, like, Arizona may not have the big, like, a lot of weaknesses, but their weaknesses are huge weaknesses. So, yeah, I got to go with Detroit. All right, Matt, moving on here. We are going to Tampa Bay, where San Francisco travels to meet the Bucs. We got Bruce Arians in Tampa Bay making his debut for them. What does it mean for Chris Godwin? Is Mike Evans even going to be able to get two targets with Chris Godwin taking 50 targets a game? On the other side, we got Jimmy G returning. We have a whole brand new look for in terms of wide receivers for the 49ers. How does their offense gel with their leader back? Matt, what are you looking for in this?
Eric, this is, in my opinion, one of the best matchups of the week, especially in terms of fantasy football options. Before I talk about who I like in this matchup and who I'm keeping an eye on, I want to, Eric, take a second to talk about our new sponsors of the podcast. Really excited to have them on. That's Fantasy Data. So we'll talk about that right after we get back. Hey, Fantasy Fanalyst listeners, I'm excited to tell you about our sponsor, Fantasy Data, the fastest growing fantasy sports advice and data website on the web. Ever wonder where me and Eric get all of our stats, information? Whenever we're doing research, we are using Fantasy Data, and we've been doing it for a while now. So we're really excited to have this partnership with them. This year, Fantasy Data offers advanced efficiency metrics and advanced player performance metrics. You're not going to find that anywhere else. This data is used to drive their content and is available for download, so you can find your own diamonds in the rough. Check out Fantasy Data today. All right, Eric, like I said, this matchup's loaded. I mean, there's so many different elements to keep an eye on. I'm just going to be way too overstimulated watching this game. But the 49ers offense is going to really be what I'm focused in on. And as much as I want to watch the wide receivers, Dante Pettis has been named the wide receiver one on the depth chart like we all expected. Definitely going to be keeping an eye on him. Tevin Coleman is the guy I really want to see Tevin Coleman's workload. I currently have him at running back 19. That's almost 10 spots higher than the average consensus. I like him against Tampa Bay. I think this is going to be a high-tempo game. It's got a pretty solid total. 50.5 is what Vegas pegs them at. And I think Tevin Coleman is going to be a part of both the running and the passing game. So I think he's definitely a running back 2 slash flex type option right now, which is higher than a lot of people have him. Dante Pettis, I don't know, Eric. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on him. I think he's right on the edge of starter this week.
It really sounds like Shanahan was poking him with a stick. Like, all preseason, like, he's fourth on the depth chart. We want to see him take the next step. We don't think he's doing that well. Like, all the reports that he was struggling and everything, and now they list him as a starter on the depth chart. Look, throw the depth charts out the window right now, because they don't mean anything. But I wouldn't be surprised if that really was just a motivational tactic from Shanahan, and Pettis is the guy that they go with. Because, I mean, other than Goodwin, I guess, he has the most time in the offense, well, Kittle too, but as of the wide receivers, he has the most time. You know, Debo's a rookie. Jalen Hurd might not play. Trent? Who am I thinking of?
Trent Taylor.
He's not playing, right? Yeah, he's hurt.
I think he's out.
So, yeah, I mean, I think he's the guy as the wide receiver one. I really don't think they even have a choice, to be honest. I think he has to be the guy for them.
And what about Jimmy G? What are you doing with Jimmy G this week? Because I think that is probably the question that more people are going to have.
Well, I'm in a super flex with him, and I'm starting him. So, top 24, I guess.
I think that's the key. I think that he is startable in super flex. I have him at 21 this week. That's pretty close to the consensus here. And I think that's fine. I would not start him in a 12-team league. If you do not have to, I wouldn't do it. But I think in a super flex league, he's definitely serviceable. And we're going to see exactly the way that he commands this offense and the way he spreads the ball around. So there's a lot of pieces on that side of the ball. Eric, on the Tampa Bay side of the ball, I think the wide receivers are going to play well and do well. Mike Evans, of course, is going to ball out because that's who he is. But, you know, I am interested to see exactly what the level of usage that Chris Godwin has will be. I know, Eric, you are a huge Chris Godwin fan, and you just love him. But the matchup, Eric, I'm not going to ignore him. Rashard Perriman, man, lining up against Richard Sherman. I'm interested in that. I think Sherman's probably going to primarily have the coverage on him. I know you have feelings about the way that Sherman gets used, but I think it could end up Perriman on him a lot, and that he can burn, man. He can burn.
You and Perriman, man. You love Perriman. I do expect it to be high scoring. I hope they light it up. Don't know if it'll happen, but I hope they light it up. Who you got in this game?
I have San Francisco.
I indeed took San Francisco as well. I just think they have a better D-line, and I worry about the Bucs O-line.
I worry about everything on the defensive side of the ball for the Bucs.
Yeah, that too. Their defense. But outside, Devin White. Love Devin White. Just not great.
Which is another reason to play 49ers on offense. Jalen Hurd is out. That's sad. Yep. That's really sad.
We'll have to wait one more week for the breakout.
All right.
Moving on, we are going to Seattle, where Cincinnati travels to face the Seahawks. We got DK Metcalf, named a starter and will play. That's exciting. And then on the other side of the ball, we have the Zach Taylor offensive debut. Not himself, he's the coach, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, he's like a player coach. He's like Jackie Moon.
He'll play some tight end. Matt, who are you looking at in this game?
Tight end? Have you seen Zach Taylor? I don't think he's playing tight end.
He's playing a slot receiver.
There you go.
Put him at left tackle.
Oh, gosh. Hey, wait, listen, man. Maybe on Seattle's offensive line.
That's fair.
Although I think Cincinnati has an even worse offensive line compared to Seattle, yeah. Yikes. And Cincinnati drafted Jonah Williams and then can't even play him, which does make it even worse. Oh my gosh, yeah, I forgot how bad the Cincinnati offensive line is. They're starting Bobby Hart and Cordy Glenn.
Oh, Jadeveon Clowney in that defensive line. Yikes.
Oh, yeah, oh boy. Well, listen here, if it wasn't obvious already, you're going to have to fade the Cincinnati offense. And I know my Joe Mixon truthers are going to hate me. I have Joe Mixon outside of running back one territory. He'll still do fine because he can run the ball, but I'm at running back 14 this week. He's got a really tough matchup. You got to play him because you drafted him, but just giving you a heads up now, he's got a really tough matchup. AJ Green is out, but I think Tyler Boyd can still ball out. Tyler Boyd has a good matchup. I think he'll be lining up against, I think will he be against Shaq Griffin?
I don't know, but I hope he is now.
I think, no, probably Amadi, because he'll be out of the slot. Yeah, that would make more sense.
That Seahawks secondary has undergone such a weird transformation.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to try to guess who's going to be on him, but probably that. And either way, I think Boyd will have a matchup advantage. And remember, Boyd did well with AJ Green out. So, I have Tyler Boyd, wide receiver 13 this week, higher than the consensus, and I know he's facing a tough defense, but Dalton's got to throw the ball somewhere, and they're going to have to put something together on offense. So I think Tyler Boyd can be the guy. On the other side of the ball, Eric, we're going to see, after all of the hype and all of the talk this preseason, all of the hype that Chris Carson got, is Chris Carson the guy? Is he really the guy? And I'm going to look at touches, and I'm going to look at numbers. I want to see how many total touches that Chris Carson and Rashad Penny get together. Is this offense going to throw the ball more than they did last season? I think the answer is yes, but just how much? That's the real question. Of course, Tyler Lockett, I think, is going to ball out. You're going to play Tyler Lockett. DK Metcalf, unless you're really in a pinch, I'm not playing DK Metcalf yet. I love DK. I want to wait and see. Unless you really need him in a flex spot, like you're a team with like or a league with like three or four flex spots. But other than that, you're probably waiting on DK Metcalf for now.
That's fair. That's fair. Should I ask who you got in this?
I have Seattle by a lot.
Yep. It's so mean.
What's the spread on this game? Spread is 9.5. I know you don't like picking spreads, but I might take the over.
I would take Seattle to cover that. It's so mean to put that game in Seattle. Like, really, NFL? You could have put that in Cincinnati. Like, if it was in Cincinnati, I'd be like, all right, well, maybe this can be competitive for a while. It's in Seattle on opening weekend. Yikes. Cool. Poor Cincinnati. On to the next game. We got Indianapolis traveling to LA to face the Chargers, not the Rams. This was just going to be such a good week one matchup. And so that reminds us to pour one out for Andrew Luck. Because now it's not looking as good. What to watch for? Chargers running back situation. How does that shake out? Eckler or Jackson? Who gets more burn?
Eckler. Okay.
All right. And Hunter Henry season. Matt, we've been waiting for so long. And it's finally here. Hunter Henry, have a game, young man. Go off. Matt, what are you looking at?
Yeah, all good things. All good things to point out here. I do expect Eckler to get the majority of the carries. Eckler is a must start. If he's in your lineup, he's a must start. I am his running back 13 this week. Like, I am high on Austin Eckler. I think Indianapolis is going to feel a little overwhelmed on the field trying to keep up with the Chargers offense. And I think the Chargers are going to get up early. They're going to run the ball. But remember, Eckler is a pass-catching option as well. I love Justin Jackson, but just pump the brakes on Justin Jackson for now. I don't expect him to get a super sizable role on this Los Angeles really jumps ahead. So mostly Austin Eckler there in the run game. Mike Williams, watch for Mike Williams to get a touchdown or two, as he always has the threat of. I'm absolutely starting Mike Williams if I have him. It's my wide receiver 27 this week. And on the flip side of the ball, I am just about pumping the brakes everywhere I can, Eric. Marlon Mack, my running back 29. You're not starting him unless you need to. Unless you need him in your flex. He's maybe your running back too, but I would not feel excited about that. And then T.Y. Hilton, you got to play him, but I'm also really not excited about that either. Eric Ebron, that's a little exciting to me. That's a little exciting because I think that Brissett may have to look at him more than he normally the more than Andrew Luck would have had to. So all of those guys come with a little with a caution though, and so if I'm in a tough pinch and I'm debating between a Colt and somebody else, chances are it's going to be the other person. Jacoby Brissett, by the way, my quarterback 25 this week. I'm not starting him even in a super flex.
We don't talk enough on this podcast, because it's a fantasy football podcast, about like emotional tolls that these players go through. This is about just as big of a gut punch for the Colts as like you could ever imagine for any team. It's just sad. I mean, it could either really like tank their season that Andrew Luck retired when he did, or it could bring them all together and they have a nice little season. They surprise people. I'm hoping for that because there's so much talent on that Colts offense. I just don't know if it'll happen. Matt, who you got in this game?
Just one more thing I pointed out. I know he talked about pumping the brakes on Marlon Mack, but just to emphasize that point a little bit, you got Ingram, Bosa, and Tillery, and Nwosu. But really, that front four on the defensive side of the ball is really good for Los Angeles. And Jerry Tillery, the rookie, he has been balling out in preseason, and he was a guy who gained a lot of hype late in the draft process anyways. So it's going to be hard to run against them. And then, of course, you have Thomas Davis as well playing linebacker for him now, who's going to help load the box alongside Adrian Phillips. So that's just really not a defense I want to run against, man.
I don't know, man. The last time we saw them, Sony had 3 touchdowns. And that Colts O-line is pretty good.
Are you trying to tell me that Sony Michel and Marlon Mack are the same player? Because I would love for you to tell me that now.
Marlon Mack had a good year last year. I know people are slighting Sony. I don't feel good when people slight Marlon Mack. I don't feel good when people slight people like that.
Okay. So you're playing Marlon Mack.
I might.
All right, we're doing this. Here we go. Marlon Mack or Darius Geis?
Ooh, give me Mac, yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay. Marlon Mack or Damian Williams?
Oh, Mac. I'm not... I don't like any running back against Jacksonville. I don't care who it was.
Marlon Mack or Philip Lindsay?
I'd probably roll Lindsay. I like Lindsay.
Mm.
Especially if it's PPR. If it's PPR, Lindsay. Standard, like a psychopath, I'll start back.
I have all of those players slightly higher than Marlon Mack. Marlon Mack or Derrick Henry?
Mack. I'll go out on the limb on that
that's
one. I'll say
Mack. I have Mack higher as well.
I like Mack a little more there.
All right. Moving on here. Was that? Yep. All right, moving
on. We got Dallas and the Giants showdown at 425 in Dallas. We got Zeke's workload. That is definitely the biggest thing to monitor in this game. Coming off of no training camp, even though he was in Cabo training, you still got to get into the proverbial football shape. So, is Pollard useless? Does he get some burn? Is he a flex-worthy spot this week? We shall find out. Barkley, year two. That is easily the biggest headline for the Giants. Everybody's just, I feel like everybody and their mother is excited to watch Saquon Barkley play football again. That's just normal. So, Matt, what are we looking at in this?
So, specifically for the Giants, Eric, I want to see how that offensive line looks playing together. Because that's been really the story that I've been honed in on for the Giants in the offseason. It seems that offensive line is more reinforced. You have Nate Solder and Will Hernandez playing another season together. They traded for Zeitler. They signed Mike Remmers. Jalapio finished the season well last year. So let's see how much of an advantage that is for Barkley. More importantly, Eric, can it buy Eli Manning more time? Can Eli Manning get Sterling Shepard involved to the point where we are really going to want him to be? But really, Eric, hammer Evan Engram. And if you're looking for a trade, this is the last week you're going to be able to get Evan Engram cheap, because people are going to realize that he is a top three tight end this year. I really think so. The more and more I think about it, the more I think he's going to outplay Zach Ertz. I really do, because he is going to be a focal point in this offense. Don't be surprised if he bumps out to the slot a few times. I mean, he is going to be a target, whether it's Eli Manning or later in the season if Daniel Jones gets some play. Like, Evan Engram's going to be the guy. So hone in on him, hone in on the Giants' offensive line. And on the flip side of the ball, hone in on everybody on Dallas. I don't know what to tell you. They're going to absolutely wreck the Giants' defense.
So that means you're taking Dallas, right?
Yeah, I would love to pick the Giants, but come on. If I'm being honest with myself.
Fair enough.
Hold on. Am I seeing this? Hold on. Am I lining this up right, Eric? Is DeAndre Baker going to line up against Amari Cooper?
Well, no. You'd think it'd be Janoris.
You would hope so.
I would not give DeAndre Baker. That would be a rough assignment for the rookie. That would not be nice. Put him on Gallup. All right, yeah, we're both on Dallas there. I like that Engram take. I actually love that Engram take. I'm not a hot takey person. Whenever I see people throw out takes, I'm like, hey, just throwing out that take, throw it out. I actually like that one. That one makes sense. All right, Matt. What to watch for? 8:20. Pittsburgh Steelers travel to New England to face the Patriots. We're to watch for. We got the defending champions of the NFL. What else do you need to watch? And the Steelers. All right, now seriously though, we got Josh Gordon back. Patriots completely 180 from last year's wide receivers to this year's. For the Steelers, no AB. Juju takes over the top spot. Who's the wide receiver too? How does James Conner do? Matt, what are we looking for in this?
I mean, you mentioned it. Josh Gordon is definitely going to be a storyline to watch. Right now, Eric, are you starting Josh Gordon?
In the one league that I do have him in the Dynasty League, I am. Do I have three wide receivers? Yeah, three wide receivers, two flex spots. So, yes, I am starting Josh Gordon, but that's a deep league. So, if it was...
I am at 31, and I think that's just about where you're going to be. Exactly the situation that you just mentioned, Eric.
I would not be surprised come Sunday night after this game. We're saying, wow, I can't believe how good Demaryius Thomas looked. He actually looked better than Gordon. I brought it up in the preseason game. I'm going to bring it up again now. I would not be shocked.
There's just a lot of factors. Like, Bill moves the ball around enough as it is, and then you add in the fact that Gordon is so hit or miss. But the other part about that is Gordon could catch three balls and get 90 yards. You know what I mean? Like,
it is just the long story short for the New England offense, up on Brady. Brady is the one here. Like, I think Brady has a bounce back seat. He had 4,300 yards last year, but you know what I mean. I think he does better than this year than he did last year.
I have James White and Sony Michel back-to-back in my rankings at 23 and 24. I think they're both startable. Damian Harris, not yet. Not quite yet, but let's just wait a little bit on him. He will be startable as we get further into the season. Eric, on the other side of the ball, James Conner. I am excited to see him this week. I want to see what he can do against New England week one. A lot of people have been critical of James Conner, critical about him playing in tough matchups last year, and I think he's going to get a pretty solid matchup right off the bat with the Patriots here. So let's see what he can do, and if he is the guy that I've hyped him up to be, I think he still should be considered running back one, dynamic dual threat running back. And let's see right off the bat what he's going to be looking like in 2019. And then I am definitely still high on Juju. I think he's a top five wide receiver this week. I'm exactly a five, but I'm not trying my luck with anybody else on that offense outside of Connor or Juju.
That's fair. Who do you like in this game?
Who do I like in this game? Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the Patriots.
Yeah, you're going to have to go with the Patriots. Okay.
This is a terrible week one. I picked the Patriots and don't pick the Giants. Jeez.
I love 2019. Okay.
And you know, Eric, I don't know that it's going to be very different most weeks this season. So
that's honestly true. All right. Moving on to the Monday night slate, where we got two games. That's always nice. One's really good. One's Denver Oakland. Okay, but first, Houston travels.
Is that the late
Orleans.
Game? Is that the late game? It must be, right? That's the late game, right?
Denver at Oakland's the late one. Houston at New Orleans, 7:10 Eastern time.
Best game of the week. Best game of the week.
I might agree with that. Don't sleep on that New England-Pittsburgh game. But it's definitely one of the best games of the week. Kamara Murray split. We need to see how this looks. I'm not suggesting that it's going to be like a 50-50 or even a 60-40. Maybe not even 65-35. Is it like 70-30? Like, how much does Latavius Murray really take away from Kamara there? We got to keep an eye on that. And Houston, with Kiki Kuti practicing, and it sounded like he wasn't going to play week one, now it's like, oh, he might play week one. Houston's official, well, I guess not with Lamar Miller. RIP. But still, technically close to as full strength as they'll ever get. So that's exciting for Houston. Matt, what are you watching for?
Watching for Duke Johnson's ball out game. I've been hyping up Duke Johnson very much since before the trade. And then I got even more excited when Duke Johnson got traded. Now Duke Johnson is playing week one in the highest total over-under based on Vegas' numbers of the week. And I have Duke Johnson as a running back one this week, Eric. I have Duke Johnson as running back 12. I will ride on this hill, and I will die on this hill, and I am going to figure out which direction I will be going in very quickly in week one. I'm excited to see Duke Johnson and the way that he gets used in this offense. No, I don't care that Carlos Hyde is there. I think Duke Johnson is still going to get the primary work. I think he's going to probably get 70% of the touches out of the backfield. That's on the ground and through the air. And then who is up next in the wide receiving core? Because we know DeAndre Hopkins has first, and he is going to ball out. But what happens after that? If you have Will Fuller this week, if you have Kenny Stills this week, you have to be agonizing right now about whether or not you're going to play them. And right now, I'm telling you that Will Fuller is startable. I'm at wide receiver 38, so he's not at the top of my charts, but I like Will Fuller, and I'm probably going to have him in flex spots this week. So if it's tight and it's Will Fuller, I mean, you can look at my rankings, theffanalyst.com, but I'm telling you, Will Fuller is definitely startable. Kenny Stills, let's wait a week. Let's wait a week on Kenny Stills, but I do like his potential in this offense. And Eric, I cannot wait to see how my QB1 for the 2019 season Deshaun Watson does.
Well, not a great matchup because New Orleans defense is pretty tough. Who are you liking this game?
Oh, who did I pick? I think I originally picked the Saints on our spreadsheet, but I'm flipping it, Eric. I'm going with Houston.
Yeah, New Orleans is my Super Bowl pick for the NFC side, so I'm not having them start off 0-1. I'm taking New Orleans. All right. On to the...
Also, Eric, I know you mentioned New Orleans secondary, but Lattimore on Hopkins doesn't scare me one bit.
I was saying their defense.
Nor does. Oh, man. Eli Apple's probably going to match up against Will Fuller. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you. As a Giants fan, smash Will Fuller. I'm moving him up in my rankings.
He's much better on the Saints than he was the Giants.
He was. He was. Honestly, Eli Apple was much better on the Saints. But then again, come on. How could you not be?
I'm so excited for that game. All right, you know what? I'll give it to you. I do think that is the best game of the week. That is just
hot,
juicy.
Hot dog.
That is juicy.
Wait, hot dog? Hot dang.
Hot dog.
Hot dog. Can I get a hot dog?
You know, I'll give it to you. That's the best game of Monday night. And speaking of Monday night,
oh, wow. You shouldn't have.
Here. Denver travels to Oakland, 10:15 Eastern time. The Lindsey Freeman split, I think, is the biggest thing to watch for on the Denver side.
You made him sound like one person. You're like, Lindsey Freeman, how many touches is they going
to
get?
That could be a it would be so much nicer if they just combined to be one person. That would be like a really
right?
good running back.
Right?
That would be a great running
Thank
back.
You. It's like they're not even thinking about us. It's like they're only thinking about themselves and being individual people.
I've heard many quotes from Vic Fangio this offseason. I'm like, yeah, this guy doesn't even know fantasy football. This isn't going to be good.
You know what? That would be something Vic Fangio would say. He'd be like, so just to keep everybody updated, Lindsey Freeman is now one person, and also Drew Lock still sucks. I'd be like, damn it, Vic!
Drew Lock's on IR, he's still throwing him under the bus.
Why you gotta do me like that, Vic?
On the other side of the ball, you know, I was questioning whether or not Derek Carr could survive that Denver D-line with AB, and now he's gonna have to survive it without AB. Don't think he will. Matt, what are you looking at in this game?
Hold on. I got a little distracted. Do we know if Brett Rypien made the Broncos or not?
If he did, it was as a practice squad because I know he got cut.
Oh, he did get cut. Definitely dang it. I needed to look right now.
Popped up in our group chat. Rejoin.
Oh, they only.
So, yeah, he's on the practice
They're squad. Only. Okay, all right. Brandon Allen's the backup quarterback. What? They only took two quarterbacks? They felt that confident in Brandon Allen?
Patriots only have two quarterbacks. They only have Brady and Stidham.
Didn't they have somebody else good as a backup?
The Broncos or the...
All right, not the point. The Broncos.
Not sure.
Yeah, all right, not the point. Denver offense here, Eric. Manuel Sanders. I have him as my wide receiver 23 this week. That's much higher than the consensus. Consensus has him at 40. Why have we forgotten who Emmanuel Sanders is and who Emmanuel Sanders was last week? If you have Emmanuel Sanders, he's probably your wide receiver 4 or 5 on your roster because you were able to get him so cheap. I think you got to play him. You got to slide him into that flex spot. Unless you're talking about guys who, you know, are really... Unless you have a stack 3 or 4 guys in front of him, Emmanuel Sanders needs to be in your lineup this week. Cortland Sutton, maybe if you're playing in a deeper league. I think he's got red zone touchdown potential. Have him at 37. So he's startable, but not in shallow leagues. And then Eric, I'm willing to play Lindsey Freeman, either one of them this week. I really am. I'm willing to give him a go if I have to... kind of work off of that running back zero strategy, or if you didn't get good running backs in the draft, I think you could play Lindsey Freeman.
All right.
Yes, this is going to be a thing, by the way.
Anything on Oakland?
Okay, but I will get to Oakland, but first, Eric, I wanted to ask you, Noah Fant, you starting him this week?
Not this week, no.
Not week one. Not week one, but he's there. He'll get there.
I'll give it 3 to 4 drives on Monday night, and then he'll be a thing. Okay, who are you taking?
Whoa. Yosh Jacobs. We got to talk about Yosh Jacobs. He's going to be the guy to watch, man. I want to see his volume. I want to see how explosive he looks. I think Denver's a pretty good test right off the bat. It's not the toughest run defense, but I feel like Denver's got a pretty solid unit there, so I kind of want to see what he's able to do right off the bat. I know Oakland has a tough schedule to start the season, but let's see that explosion. Let's see how he translates to the NFL. And I have him as my running back 16 this week. I think he's very serviceable.
Okay. All right. Now, who are you taking?
Denver.
It's got to be Denver here. All right.
Yeah, I'm going to take Denver over the Oakland train wrecks.
Yes, that would be the name change by week. Might be the name change already. Might be their name already. All right. Oakland train wrecks. That's a week.
Woo! I'm ready, man. Eric, I want to remind all of our listeners here. I know we talked about the week one preview right now. Hit us up on Twitter. Eric is over there at the @FF_taters. I'm at the @FF_educator. Ask us questions. We will answer your questions. If you don't want to take the time to ask us questions, then just head on over to theffanalyst.com and check out my rankings. I post them there. There's a rankings tab right at the top of the website. And actually, what you can do is just head on over to theffanalyst.com and don't even look at my rankings. Look at all of the other content that we are cranking out. We have Eric Start Sit article. We got Mike doing Dynasty content. We got Mike Wallace doing preview content. We got Eric, other Eric with an A as we call him on our staff, doing DFS content. We got so much going on. We got waiver wires. I can't stop. Eric, I can't stop. I'm hyped for this week. All of the really good articles we got on there. The website, it looks fresh. It's got a clean new look. What more could you want?
I don't think there is more that I could want. I'm about as happy as a person can be right now. I cannot wait to watch this game tonight. Cannot wait for Sunday and Monday. So glad. So glad football's back. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas and happy week one. Thanks for listening, everybody.